Hey, everybody. Thanks for tuning in to our weekly podcast here at First United Methodist Church, Murfreesboro. I'm Cliff Wright, the senior pastor. I hope this week's message is meaningful and inspiring to you. If you'd like more information about how to get connected at FUMC, you can visit our website, fumcm.org, or you can check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at FUMCBurra. I also hope you'll consider joining us at one of our four weekly worship services at 8:30 and 11 a.m. on Sundays in the Sanctuary and the Family Life Center. First United Methodist Church is a warm and welcoming community of people committed to the mission of growing disciples of Jesus Christ who know Him, love Him, and serve Him. I hope this week's message helps you in your own personal journey towards knowing, loving, and serving Christ in your life. Our scripture lesson is from the Gospel according to St. John, the 21st chapter. I'm beginning with the 15th verse. Hear this, God's word for us today. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord. You know that I love you." He said to him, "Feed my lambs." A second time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" And he said to him, "Yes, Lord. You know that I love you." He said to him, "Tend my sheep." He said to him the third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep. Truly, truly, I say to you, when you were young, you girded yourself and walked where you would. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands, and another will gird you and carry you where you do not wish to go." This he said to show by what death he was to glorify God. And after this, he said to him, "Follow me." The word of God for the people of God. Thank you. You may be seated. Would you bow with me as we go to God in prayer? And now, God, either through me or in spite of me, you speak to these your people. It's in your name we pray. Amen. The risen Christ came to Simon Peter one day with a question. One question. It's all he asked. "Simon Peter," he asked, "do you love me?" And Simon Peter said, "Lord, you know that I love you." That I love you. It's an interesting thing about those words, "I love you." You know, when we say them, if we mean them, if they're the real thing, if the words are real, and if the love is real, then it's more than simply affirmation, that is, saying the words. It's also participation, that is, showing evidence that the love is real. Showing evidence that it's the real thing. Simon Peter, do you love me? Well, Lord, you know I do. Well, then, Simon Peter, if your love for me is real, it will be more than simply affirmation. It'll be more than saying the words. It'll also be participation, showing evidence that the love is the real thing. Do you see what Jesus is saying to us this morning? People of First Church, do you love me? Well, Lord, you know we do. I mean, why else would we be here? Then if your love for me is real, Jesus reminds us, it will be more than affirmation, simply saying the words. It will also be participation, showing evidence that the words are real. Feed my lambs. You know, I think when you get right down to it, that's the calling of the church. That's the reason we exist. The reason that we exist, our purpose as the church, is to feed the lambs. It's said in different ways in the Gospels. At the end of Matthew's Gospel, Jesus came to his disciples and said, I need you to go make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them, remember? Teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. In other words, feed them. In John's Gospel, the way the risen Christ said it was, feed my lambs. I believe one of the ways that you and I feed the lambs is to feed the lambs' spiritual food. Would you not agree with me this morning when I say that we're living in a time, a day, an age, a culture when there are people that are absolutely starving to death spiritually? Do you guys watch the news? You watch the news, don't you? I watch the news. What in the world is going on? Can you answer me that? What in the world is going on? Here's what I think is going on. I think we're living in a day, in a time, in a culture, in this great country, where there are people that are absolutely spiritually malnourished. And Jesus is saying, church, first church, do you love me? Lord, you know we do. Then I need you to feed my lambs. I need you to feed my lambs. Years ago, there was a minister over in the Atlanta area. His name was Milton Cunningham. And he had a meeting in Dallas, and he was flying to that meeting. He got on the plane one day from Atlanta to Dallas, got his seat, discovered that his seat was the middle seat in a section of three on one side of the aisle. And he got all situated in his seat, got everything, you know, where he needed it to be. And he turned to his right, and he noticed that seated next to him in the seat by the window was this little girl, younger than any of you guys, younger than any of us, just this little thing. Prettiest little thing you ever did see. And when she looked up at him, he noticed that she also happened to have Down syndrome. And she started to visit with Reverend Cunningham. And she started to ask him some questions, rather personal questions. After a little while, she elbowed him in the side, and he said, "What's that, sweetie?" She said, "Mister, did you brush your teeth this morning?" And he said, "Well, yes, sweetheart, as a matter of fact, I did." He said, "You know, I brush my teeth every morning." And she looked at him and grinned, just the prettiest grin. And she said, "Good, because that's what you're supposed to do." A few moments later, she elbowed him a second time, and he turned to her, and he said, "What is it?" She said, "Mister, do you smoke?" And he said, "Well, no, as a matter of fact, I don't smoke. I have never smoked." And she looked at him and smiled again, and this time she said, "Good, because smoking will make you die." What, a few moments later, third time she elbowed him. He turned to her and he said, "What is it?" She said, "Mister, do you love Jesus?" And he looked at her and grinned, and he said, "Oh, yes, sweetheart, I do. I love Jesus very, very much. I love Jesus very much." And she grinned even bigger, and she said, "Good. I love Jesus too." Well, other people were coming on the plane by this time. plane was almost filled. There was one seat left. It was the seat to Reverend Cunningham's left. And finally, this one guy, you know, there's always one. You know, there's always one. They're running behind. This guy was running behind. He's frantically coming down the aisle, all frazzled, puts his carry-on in the overhead, and finally gets situated in his seat. So here's what you got. You've got Reverend Cunningham that's in the middle seat. To his left on the aisle is this guy that Reverend Cunningham has obviously never met before in his life. And then the little girl with Down syndrome on his right by the window seat. The plane takes off, gets to its cruising altitude, levels off, and after a while, the little girl elbowed Reverend Cunningham. He turned to her and he said, "What is it?" She said, "Ask him if he brushed his teeth." He said, "Sweetheart, I can't do that." She said, "Why not?" He said, "Because I don't know who he is. I've never met him before in my life." And you know what she did? She looked at him and she said, "Ask him. Ask him if he, but go on, ask him if he brushed his teeth." So Reverend Cunningham turned to the guy. Now he's got his laptop open and his nose stuck right in that. Now you know what that is. That's universal language for what? "Don't bother me." He turns to him and he says, "Sir, excuse me, I hate to bother you, but my new little friend over here would like to know if, what she wants me to ask you is, did you brush your teeth this morning?" And the guy looked at him, and he was frowning and scowling, and then he looked across the seat and saw this sweet little girl. And when he did, he just grinned and smiled, and he said, "Yes, as a matter of fact, I brush my teeth every day." And under her breath, you could hear the little girl say, "Good, because that's what you're supposed to do." A few moments later, she nudges Reverend Cunningham a second time. He said, "Yes, what is it?" She said, "Ask him if he smokes." He said, "Sweetheart, I can just ask him," she said, "just ask him if he smokes." He turned to the guy and he said, "Look, I hate to bother you, but she wants to know if you smoke." And the guy grinned again and he said, "No, never smoked in my life." And under her breath, you could hear her down there, "Good, because smoking will make you die." A few moments later, she nudges him a third time. "You already know what's coming, don't you?" She said, "Ask him if he loves Jesus." And Reverend Cunningham said, "Sweetheart, I can't do that." She said, "Why not?" He said, "Because it's none of my business. And it's none of your business either. And I can't ask him that." And you know what she said? She said, "Ask him. Ask him if he loves Jesus." So he turned to the guy and he said, "Listen, I promise you this is going to be the last question." And the guy looked up and he was smiling. He said, "What's that?" And he said, "My new little friend down here wants to know if you love Jesus." And that's when the guy stopped smiling. And that's when Reverend Cunningham got to thinking, "I've gone too far. Crossed the line." And the guy looked at Reverend Cunningham, and this is what he said. He said, "I used to. I used to love Jesus." And that's when tears welled up in his eyes. And after a while, they started rolling down his cheeks. And he turned to Reverend Cunningham, and he started telling him his story. He said, "When I was a little boy, about your age, I walked down the center aisle of the church one Sunday, and I gave my life to Jesus." He said, "You want to know why?" "Because I love Jesus more than anything in the world. I loved Jesus. But as I got older," he said, "something happened." He said, I don't know what happened, but other things started to take the place of Jesus in my life. Other things became more important. My work became more important. My career became the most important thing in my life. working my way up the ladder, making more and more and more money, became the most important thing, and it was the driving force in my life. And somewhere, he said to Reverend Cunningham, somewhere I got off track. Somewhere I got off track. And then he started talking to him about stresses that he was experiencing. This guy, he'd never met him before in his life. He started talking to him about the stresses in his life. He started talking to him about how unhappy he was. He started talking to him about how empty he felt. And then he turned to Reverend Cunningham and he said, I used to love Jesus, but somewhere along the way, I lost him. And then he turned to him and he said, do you think, this poignant question, do you think you could help me find him again? Do you think you could help me find Jesus? That's amazing, isn't it? All of that because a little girl with Down syndrome asked a minister that she'd never met before in his life to ask a guy that was a complete stranger if he loved Jesus. And you know what's really amazing about it? It's the same question. Listen to me. It's the same question that Jesus asked Simon Peter that day. Simon Peter, do you love me? Jesus, you know I do. You know that I do. Well, if it's the real thing, if the words are real and the love is real, it's going to be more than affirmation, simply saying the words. It's also going to be participation, showing evidence that the love is the real thing. Simon Peter, I need you to feed these lambs. Listen to me. You and I are living in a time in history where people are spiritually malnourished. There are people around us every day. You go to school with them. You go to work with them. You play golf with them. We see them every day, and they are spiritually starving to death. Are you guys with me? They're spiritually starving to death. Do you know why the church exists? To feed the lambs. I want to talk to you just a minute about some special lambs. We got some children in this church. You saw just a few of them a minute ago, but they're running around. Here's like it's like kicking over a red ant pile. And they're everywhere. And they're special. And you want to know what makes them special? It's because they are dependent. God made them that way. They are dependent on people like you and me to feed them spiritually. They're dependent on folks like you and me to lead the way, to teach them, to lead them, to guide them, and to provide the resources, you see, so that they can learn about Jesus. That's what next Sunday's about. That's what next Sunday's about. Next Sunday is about feeding lambs. Don't misunderstand that it's about money. Oh, it's about money, and the churches want money, and Lord have mercy, we got this new preacher, and he can't stop talking about it. No, it's not about money. It's about feeding lambs. It's about making sure that we've got the resources around here to feed the lamb. You see these folks over here? No, I want you to look over here and look at them. Will you do that? Look over here. Would y'all stand up? I want you to stand up. Stand up. This will take 1 second. 1 second. I told you I wouldn't embarrass you. Joe, Dylan, I want y'all to stand up. Stand up. Listen, this church is so fortunate that we've got such a great, we've got Tammy in the children's department. We've got Joe and Hannah in the youth department. I want to tell you something. We're lucky. Trust me. We're lucky. We're lucky. We're privileged in this church. Look at these young people. Look at them. You know what they are? They are our lambs. These are our lambs. You know what Jesus said? Do you love me, First Church? Do you love me? Sure we do. We wouldn't be here if we didn't love you. Then feed my lambs. You can be seated. I love you. But you know how, see how easy that came out of my mouth? I love you. But it's, I think it came real easy, didn't it? That's the way it is with words. Words come easy. Feed my lambs. Feed my lambs. You know what's happened over the past few years in this church? We've gone backwards financially. You guys know that. We've gone backwards financially. And when you know what happens when that happens? Programs get cut because we got to pay our bills. We're First Church. We love Jesus. We ain't going to let that happen anymore, right? Why? Because we love Jesus. We love Jesus. He's the most important thing in our life. And these guys are our lambs. And we're gonna feed them. We're going to take care of them. We're going to take care of them. That's the second thing Jesus said. Take care of my sheep. You know what it takes? You know what it takes to feed the lambs? It takes some financial resources. There's no other way around it. It just takes some financial resources. We got this great staff in this church. And you guys know the staff. I'm so fortunate to be able to work side by side with Patsy Cantor. Y'all know Patsy, don't you? Oh my goodness, what a treasure! I mean, her mind, it's amazing to me. It's like a computer. The other day, somebody came up here to the church. They walked up to Patsy. They said, "Is the top hog at the trough end?" She said, "What?" They said, "The top hog at the trough, is he in?" She said, "You mean Cliff?" He said, "That's what I said. Top hog at the trough." She said, "Sir, I'm offended by that." She said, "You know, Cliff's just gotten here. He ain't even been here 4 months yet. We're trying to show him that we love him and that we care about him and that we welcome him. And you can call him Reverend Wright. You can call him Pastor Cliff. He's even said you can just call him Cliff, but not the top hog at the trough." He said, "Well, I'm sorry. I didn't mean anything by it." She said, "Well, I accept your apology. What can I do for you?" He said, "I just came by to turn in a pledge of $30,000. She said, "Wait just a minute. I think I hear the big pig coming down the hall right now." Well, it didn't happen exactly that way. But I'll tell you this. You give a pledge of $30,000, you can call me whatever you want to call me. Let me tell you something else. There's some people sitting in this room that can give a pledge of $30,000. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And we need you to do it because you've been blessed to be a blessing. And we need to feed the lambs. We've got some other folks that are sitting here in the sanctuary this morning, and you can't do that. You can't give 30. You would like to. You wish you could. You wish you could, but you can't. You can't do that. You don't have the means to be able to do that. You know what Jesus wants us to do? Do what we can do. Do what we can do. For some of us, it may mean doubling our pledge for 3 years to get us out of the hole that we've gotten ourselves in. For others, it may be just increasing as you can increase. For others, it may mean just making a pledge for the very first time. But it's not about money. It's about ministry. It's about reaching out. Feed my lambs. The risen Christ went to Simon Peter the second time. He said, "Simon Peter, do you love me?" He said, "Lord, you know I do." He said, "Then take care of my sheep. Tend my sheep. Take care of them." You know, I'm a city boy. Well, actually, that's kind of pushing the envelope a little bit to say that I'm a city boy. If you know anything about Union City, the town I grew up in over in Northwest Tennessee, to say that I'm a city boy is actually stretching it just a little bit. Well, what I mean by that is I'm not a country boy, and what I mean by that is I don't really know anything about sheep. So I had to do some poking around. I had to do a little research, and I did a little research on lambs and sheep. And you know what I found out? This is what I found out. Sheep will wander off. Did you guys know that? Sheep will just, they'll just wander away. And you know how they do it? They do it one blade of grass at a time. They'll be eating the grass, and here's what happens. They take their focus off of the big picture. And they just focus on that little one blade of grass. And they'll nibble a little bit here, and then they'll nibble a little bit here, and then they'll nibble a little bit here. And you know what happens to them over a period of time? They just get lost. They just wander off and get lost. You know what I know about sheep? Sheep get lost. You remember the guy in our story on the airplane? You know how he got lost? One blade of grass at a time. We don't get lost all at one time. We get lost by forgetting what's most important. We get lost by, well, I'll just leave the church for a while. We get lost by, I'll just quit studying the Bible for a while. We get lost by, I'll just stop going to Sunday school for a while. It's just, listen, it doesn't happen all at one time. We just wander off. What's Jesus saying to us? He said, listen, I need you guys to take care of each other. I need you to support each other. I need you to challenge each other. I need you to be there for each other. I need you to love each other. I need you to lift each other up. Simon Peter, do you love me? You know I do. Well, if your love's real, I need you to take care of my sheep. Third time Jesus went to Simon Peter. Simon Peter, do you love me? He said, Lord, you know I love you. Jesus said, if it's the real thing, I need you to follow me. I need you to follow me. What does it take for a church like us to follow Jesus? Well, I'll tell you one thing it takes. One thing it takes to follow Jesus is we have to know where Jesus went. If we're going to follow Him, we have to know where Jesus went. And in order to know where He went, that means we got to be in this. We got to be in this constantly. We've got to be learning the message. You can't live the message if we're not learning the message. That's the reason I'm a broken record. And I know I am. I know I am. Constantly reminding us about Wednesday and Bible study and Sunday school class and studying the Scriptures. I'm going to tell you something. Here's what we're going to be. This is who we are at First Church. We're a church that is biblically based. It's going to be the foundation of every single thing that we do. But we got to get into this. I want to encourage you to come Wednesday. I want to encourage you to come next semester in January. This church needs you. Why? Because we are following Jesus. Where's He taking us? Where does He want us to go? It's interesting to me that Jesus is always wanting us to go. Did you notice that in the Gospels? He's always saying, go. That's what it said in the risen Christ said to Simon Peter this morning. Do you love me? Then I need you to follow me. In Matthew's Gospel, what did He say? I need you to go and make disciples. Jesus never one time said to the body of Christ, I need you to sit and stay. He was always saying, I need you to go and follow me out there. There was a young family. They were bringing their young daughter to big church for the first time. She had been in children's church. This was her first Sunday to be in big church for the whole service. She was enthralled. She had question after question after question. When the acolytes came in bringing the flame, she turned to her mother and she said, what are they doing bringing fire in the church? When the crucifer brought the cross in, she turned to her daddy and she said, what's he doing with that cross? She looked up at the choir and they were sitting up here. And she said, how come those people get to sit up there and we got to sit back here? She looked at the ministers and she said, how come they're wearing those things around their neck? Question after question after question after question. Finally, the preacher got up to preach the sermon. He was one that preached in the pulpit. He got up in the pulpit. He was one that was rather demonstrative. And as the sermon went on, he got louder and louder and louder. And before you knew it, he was shouting at the congregation. And then at one point in the sermon, he started banging on the pulpit. Little girl's eyes got big as round as saucers. She turned to her mother and she said, if he busts out of that fence, is he dangerous? You know what I think we're called to be? I think we're called to be dangerous. Not safe. We're called to be dangerous. And I know this for certain. We are called to bust out of the fence. You know what's the temptation for a lot of churches? The temptation is to build a fence around the church and we're just going to take care of us. That's what a lot of churches do, by the way. And they do it really well. They build a fence around the church And if you join that church, they're going to take care of you, going to meet your needs. Jesus said, go. Jesus didn't say anything about a church meeting their own needs. He said, a church exists to go and follow me. That's what next Sunday's about. Next Sunday is about how far we're going to go. And you and I together, we're going to determine how far we go. Jesus has got one question for us today. You know what it is? Do you love me, Lord? You know we love you. Okay, then. There's lambs out there. They need feeding. There's sheep out there. They need somebody to care for them. There's a cross up there. I need you to take it and follow me. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.